Thank God for the soldiers that were willing to go forth and represent our country and even put their life in peril for the freedoms we have. See, freedom isn't free. It comes at the highest of cost. And sometimes people give their life. As Pastor said, even for people that want to protest. And the protesters don't even realize what they're protesting many times. And if they were in the countries that they protest for, they couldn't protest. And the way they live their life, they would be executed. You can be seated. And thank God for Abraham's little army that's going to be taught the Word of God. They're going to be prayed over. And we have to reach the next generation. We've got to go after them in the name of Jesus. Because the enemy wants to steal the next generation. All it takes to lose freedom is for one generation to be snatched away. There's good news worldwide. Christ said in Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. Psalm 2:8 says, ask of me, I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Habakkuk 2:14, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That is happening. 40 years ago, the natural birth rate exceeded the spiritual birth rate. We were losing ground. That meant more people were being born, Pastor, than were being born again. But it's changed. And now this I heard about 8 or 9 years ago. Now the spiritual birth rate exceeds the natural birth rate. That means today more people are being born again than are being born. Amen. Now let me give you the bad news concerning America. Of my age, and a little younger, about 60% of people my age and a little younger base right and wrong from the biblical context. Young people today, it was 13%, it's now down to 8%. That's why we've got to make an investment to reach the young people. Amen. And we're going to do it, and we are doing it. And I sense the tide is turning because the church is waking up. Once again, as Rick said the other night, not woke, but awakened. Jesus 5:14, awake thou that sleepest and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Isaiah 61, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. He told us in Mark 16:15, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That includes the United States of America. And do you know that other countries we've evangelized? And by the way, still to this day, over 90% of all missionary endeavors are supported by the church in the United States of America. And many of these nations, and I'm excited about it, Pastor, are sending missionaries back to us. I've talked to some pastors and they're miffed. We've got churches where we're not doing that good of a job. Come on. Come on. And maybe it'll take a voice from afar to bring them in. But we're going to make sure that we secure the moorings of our home. Hallelujah. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. Judea, Jerusalem, that's our area. Judea, that's our region. And Samaria, that's the outmost region. And then he said to the uttermost part of the earth. How many knows we got to start where we are with what we have? We're not concerned about our neighbor. You're not going to be concerned about India, Africa. You're not going to be concerned about somebody 10,000 miles away. Acts 5:42, and they teach and preach Jesus Christ from house to house and also in the temple. How many they went out? How many knows where to go out? The Lord didn't say, build a church, put up a sign, come all you sinners into the house of God. He told you and I to go out in the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Now think of your own life. There were people that talked to you about the Lord. There were people that prayed for you. You may have gotten saved in the church service. But there were people that witnessed to you outside the church building. They planted a seed. Somebody else might have watered a seed. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, Paul said, I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase to the neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Because Isaiah 55:11 says, God's word will not return back to him void. That word is incorruptible. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We need some seed sowers and harvest reapers. And Christ prayed in Matthew 9:37, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth labors in his harvest. I tell you and I are an answer to Jesus' prayers. Come on. Let's acknowledge and lift our hand up to the Lord. Father, we're an answer to Jesus' prayers. When he prayed for laborers to go out into the harvest fields, we're going to do that. We're going to be involved. We're not going to be detached. We're not going to just retreat into a corner. No, we're going to be salt and light. Matthew 5:13-14. Brother Manny, what are you and Pastor Tacker trying to say? Well, pass the salt and turn on the light. Amen. Glory to God. It's exciting. You probably heard the little ditty where everybody got mad because somebody could have done what anybody could have done, but nobody did it. Let's be a somebody and not a nobody. Amen. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. We need to do what the word of God says. Mary said it best in John 2:5, the mother of Christ. She spoke these words to the servants at the wedding feast of Cana. Whatever he saith unto you, discusseth it. Debateth it. Fuss and fight over it. Take a vote on it. No, whatever he saith unto you, do it. I love those Nike commercials that come on TV. At the end of the commercial, you see a little check mark and the little caption, just do it. If you got your Bibles, turn to Psalm 85. We're going to look at verse 6. We've talked Friday night, last night, about revival, what it might look like. And it's Acts 8:5, Philip went down to Samaria, preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. Many taken with palsies were lame, were healed, and there was great joy in that city. We've been talking about it. He preached Christ. People received the word. Now, if we can get all the modern technology, we need to use all of our modern technology, but we need to preach Christ. We need to preach the word of God, not the theories of men. And the Word of God is a solution to all of our problems. There is no situation or difficulty greater than God. We've been singing about, have you noticed, if you were here Friday and Saturday and this morning, all these songs are based on what the Bible says. It's sad. In some places they're singing songs that conflict with the Word of God. And look, I know people are used to hearing them. They cry and when they hear these songs. Sometimes I hear those songs, I want to cry too. We're singing songs like, I just want a log cabin on the hilltop of glory. Well, let me tell you this. I want to be wherever Jesus is. Wherever he's at, that's where I'm going. But he didn't promise a little log cabin. In John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Had Jesus promised a log cabin, Tim, that'd be all right with me. That's not what he promised. Amen. Then, a song. Lord, don't move that mountain. Give me strength to climb. And then there's a sequel to that song. Going up the rough side of the mountain. Now, we're telling God in a song not to move a mountain he told us to move. Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Verily I say unto thee, that whosoever shall speak into this mountain and say, be thou removed, and it will be removed. But you got to speak to the mountain. Then we're saying we're going up the rough side of the mountain. You know, we can't go up the smooth side. We've got to make it hard. It's like Red Fox that played Sanford on Severinson. I'm coming home. Or Walter O'Malley played Grandpa on the Real McCoys. This is a big one. No. He said, have faith in God, verily I say unto thee, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So the Lord told you and I to use his name by faith to move the mountains, and we're singing, God, don't move the mountain. And by the way, the mountain didn't come from God anyway. That's, problems don't come from God. We need to identify who the troublemaker is. Some people think, well, you know, God sent this on me. Let me tell you what God doesn't do. He doesn't bring problems into your life. That comes from the devil. Well, I need scripture. John 10:10, Christ said, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Jesus came to give us life and that more abundant. The devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. John 8:44, he's a liar and he's the father of it. Mark 4:15, he comes immediately to take away the word that is sown in your heart. Christ said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you're going to have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world. Well, what's that mean for me if he overcame the world? And John 14:19, he said, because I live, you shall live also. See, everything Christ did in his incarnation, in his public life, in his earthly ministry, in his bodily resurrection, in his ascension to the right hand of God, that was done for you and me. Jesus didn't need victory over the devil. He didn't need to be healed. He didn't need to be delivered. He never was bound. He did that for us. 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to walk in victory. No child of God should walk in defeat. 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. In other words, God wants people to look at you and I to know what it means to be a child of God. So we're not trying to attain a position of victory. We're operating from a position of victory. Glory to God. Now the Psalm 85:6, I just took it out. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? There's joy with revival. Remember back to Acts 8:8, there was great joy in that city. But there's also joy even among the disciples when they were ran out of town. Acts 13:52, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they were filled with joy. They were just told to get out of here. Well, why did they rejoice? What about Paul and Silas singing praises to God, Acts 16:25, at the midnight hour when they were in prison? Now listen, they were operating in faith. It was a dark, dank place. They were in the inner prison. They had the stocks. I mean, they couldn't move. I'm sure they didn't feel like praising God. But we're to walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7, not by sight. I mean, we need to say what God says, even if we don't feel the way we want to feel. So we need to operate in faith. But there's nothing wrong with feelings if it's based on the Bible. That woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She felt in her body she was healed of that plague. And Jesus felt virtue, power go out of him. Acts 17:27, that they might feel after him and find him, though he be not very far from every one of us. Look, it's right to shout and be excited about the Lord. Well, that's not really faith. I need to sit here. What? You're an emotional being too. Come on. Try to be excited. In fact, if you're excited about the Lord, that'll get other people excited about the Lord because excitement is contagious. You get around somebody that's on fire for God, either you're going to walk away from them or it's going to light your fire. Amen! Hallelujah! Wilt thou not revive thy people? Revivals for the church. That brings evangelism to the world. When we're revived, we're brought to life again. Not that we're completely dead, but we are reignited. And that's what we need in the house of God. To be on fire for God. Not to be a bystander, a spectator, or an observant. You know, in the kingdom of God, and then you look at the world of men, there are people that are spectators. They watch things happen. Then there are conversationalists. They talk about things that happen. And then there are some people that wonder what happened. And then there's another category that make things happen. God wants you and I to be movers and shakers in the kingdom of God. He's called you and I to make a difference in somebody's life. Not just live for the Lord and go home and just be satisfied therein. Can we be satisfied knowing if people die without Jesus, they're not going to heaven. And they're going to go to hell. Jude verse 22 says, on some have compassion making a difference. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Heaven is a reality. And so is hell. Now think of this. Somebody told you about the Lord. Somebody prayed for your soul. Somebody invited you to church. Somebody got involved in your life when you weren't even concerned about your eternal welfare. Well, if they did, aren't we going to respond by helping other people come to Jesus? I'll tell you something that affected me. Somebody gave me a tract, and on the front of it, Rick, it said what to do to go to hell. Jeremy, I opened it up, and guess what? There was nothing on the inside of it, Willie. Nothing. And I was like, misprint. Then when I looked on the back, it said, that's right. You don't have to do anything. You're on your way to hell now. And I was, because I was in my sin, separated from God. Conviction came upon me to realize that I was created. Evolution's a total fallacy. Man did not evolve. Man was created. There's no ongoing evolution today. Do you know what the paleontologists who believe in evolution say, and the anthropologists are saying now? Well, evolution's taking a pause. Isn't that convenient? But they can't find evolution today, and they've not found evolution in the fossil record. There are no transitional connector intermediate forms connecting men to apes or any other species to another species. When I went to Marshall University in the 1970s, now I'm high going to class. I mean, I'm a wild child. I didn't get saved until 1975. And the science professor said, fish without eyes swam out from under rocks, and sets of membranes began to form on the front lobe of the fish's head. Now I'm thinking, you know, after I got saved, how come some of the eyes didn't form on the back? Now, how do you get from a sense of membrane to eyesight? Even prominent evolutionists like Richard Dawkins and Stephen Gould and, you know, they talk about the one guy, Stephen Hawking. He was an anthropologist, and he was also, he was an astronomer, astrophysicist. And in an unguarded moment, a man that says there's no God made this statement in an unguarded moment. It's recorded. It's hard to conceive of the universe as we know it about thinking that it was made by God for us. Furthermore, it seems the laws of physics have been specifically designed for the human race. And then he says there's no God. Well, men like Richard Dawkins and Charles Darwin, the founder of evolutionary thought, he lamented the fact you couldn't find transitional forms in the fossil record. And then other modern people have said, well, you know, we have to believe it because the only alternative is to believe in special creation. And we can't believe that. Oh, you've already set out to say we can't believe that. But what you believe is not backed up by science. Science is based by empirical data, verifiable proof. Because when they talk about eyesight, there are hundreds of thousands of factors and cofactors that would have to be present for eyesight to occur. And let me tell you another thing. If I'm a fish and I don't have any eyes and I swim out from under a rock and get a headache, guess where I'm staying away from? Well, you know, a lizard became a bird, you know, and the bird developed wings. Let me tell you something. If a bird cannot fly on 2% of a wing. 2% of a wing would slow the creature down, make it easy prey for predators. So the so-called transitional phases would be an impediment to the survival of any species. We were created in the image and likeness of God. Go back to the Cambrian period where they find the first fossils of life. Before that, there's nothing. Then all of a sudden, you find complex life forms with intricate systems, skeletal systems, lungs and a heart, and no precursors, forerunners, or antecedents before that. And Richard Dawkins says, it's like they were planted there with no history. No, they were created and then they died. You and I were made in the image and likeness of God. We were created for eternity. We're not an accident. Psalm 139:14, he said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knoweth right well. And he said, you wrought my members in the curious parts of the earth when as yet there were none of them, and you wrote them in your book. Now, let me tell you, in the year 2000, Francis S. Collins was the lead geneticist in decoding the human genome. And he was an agnostic going into the project. Upon completion of the project, he wrote a book, DNA, the Language of God. And all of a sudden, now there's controversy. There's controversy. You know why? Because he saw there had to be intelligence that brought everything about. And they call it the Book of Life. Well, if you walked to a library and you saw a book, went over, started reading, and maybe a novel or autobiography or, you know, whatever. Man, this is really interesting. You don't think all of a sudden that a tree fell in the forest and wood came out of the tree, became paper, and ink berries blew off an ink berry tree and landed on that page. Man, what a great story. You know there was an author. You know, in the first instance of life, when the sperm fertilizes an egg and the zygote is formed, there's enough information. Are you ready for this? In the first census of life, there's enough information to fill 1,000 complete sets of encyclopedias. And if you see coded information, how many know somebody put the code there? I just had to throw that in. Listen, we need to get on fire for God. We've got to make forays into the devil's territory and snatch them out. We're not going to cede the public domain to the secularists. Look, they have a right in America. Thank God, to this day, we do have freedom. But there are people who want to shut the church up. They want everybody else to be able to say whatever they want to say, but they want to shut the church up. Well, look, we have free speech rights, and we need to enforce that. We need to continue to say what we know to be true, because if they silence us by intimidation, we'll lose our free speech. Amen. Well, somebody might be offended. I'm not out to offend anybody, but there's going to be an offense to the Word of God. When I was a sinner, Pastor Tackett, Scotty, when I was a sinner and I heard the gospel, I fell under conviction. You know what? It really bothered me. I knew I was wrong. Now I knew my life was a mess. Drug addict, becoming an alcoholic. And I needed help. And you know what? When I called on the name of Jesus, He changed me. Changed my life. That wasn't mind over matter. That was God changing a man's heart. And you can't look at me and say, well, you don't know what I've done. I don't have to know what you've done. And nobody else here has to know what you've done. God knows what you've done. You know, I've sort of kept that secret. Jeremiah 23:24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God knows. I mean, he knows what's going on. And then when you're under conviction, you know that God knows. Then you know you're in a bad way. See, the law, which is the will of God, perfect will of God, we fell short. And Galatians 3:24 says the law was a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. It's like a mirror. What's the purpose of a mirror? You look in a mirror and you see a reflection of what you look like. But how many knows, like many years ago, I've shared this before, when I was a school teacher, one morning I went to school, Kathy went to the factory, we had a 100-watt light bulb in our bathroom, it blew out. Kathy only had a 25-watt light bulb, but she got another 100-watt light bulb. Four or five of them, brought them home that next afternoon. So I'm going to school, and I'm thinking everything's okay. I'm walking down the hallway, and these kids are looking and just smiling. And I walk through the secretary's office, and they're looking and smiling. Go to the principal's office, Mr. Dingus, and some of the faculty members are smiling. Nobody's telling me what's going on. I said, man, I've never seen people this happy before in the school. Never. Well, about 10:50, the first break, I would go down to the coach's lounge. I led three of those guys to the Lord. One of them now is a preacher. One's a Sunday school superintendent. And another's very active in his church. These were the coaches. Anyway, so I go into the bathroom there, and they had a 100-watt light bulb turned, and I looked in the mirror. I went, ah! Alfalfa sticking straight up in the air. I had some dried oatmeal on the left side of my mustache. Not the worst of it. I had dry drool on the right side of my chin. Well, why did you go to school look like that? I didn't know I looked like that because I didn't have enough illumination. James 4:8, draw near to God. God said, I'll draw near to you. When you get close to God and the Word of God has influence in your life, you begin to realize, you know what? I'm falling short. I need help. That's what the law does. Man, you read the laws, man, I can't live up to it. You can't, but Jesus did. And if you'll repent of your sin and call on the name of the Lord, He'll come into your life and He'll cause you to be victorious and live a victorious Christian life. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He said, will you not revive us again, that we may rejoice in you? There's a sound of revival. And as they all look the same, well, over there this time, but it's a little different over there. I ministered last night, and I said in 1 Corinthians 12:3, no man can say that Jesus is Lord by the Holy Ghost. Difference of administration, same Lord. Diverse is operation, same God which works, and difference of administrations. In other words, there's different manifestations of God, and it doesn't all have to be just like they're doing it over there. Do you know there were disciples that wanted to call fire down on people because they weren't experiencing the same thing? Jesus said, if they're not against us, they're for us. And he said, you don't even know what spirit you're of. This is it, and we're going to franchise this and put a copyright on it. And this is where you... Listen, let's not box God into just one way of moving. It's just like in the book of Revelation, I mentioned, you know, there are some denominations. They send circulars around. Of course, they do it electronically now. And preachers in all these nations, they have to preach the same message. Whether you're in Africa or South America or North America or wherever. What if there are different problems going on in different churches? See, I go to Revelation. You got Ephesus, Smyrna, Thyatira, Sardis, Laodicea, Philadelphia. And what's the other one? There's seven churches. Come to me in a minute. Smyrna, the persecuted church. Seven different churches, and there were different things that God wrote to those churches that He needed to deal with. So then we're going to send out a circular. We're going to say, the last thing we need is cookie-cutter Christians. We all look the same. We talk the same. Man, I'm glad in plumage, bird plumage, all birds don't look exactly alike. Would it be dull? Huh? Come on, saints of God. Hallelujah. So there could be diversity and still have unity. The unity is the Word of God. That's what unites us. It's the Word of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:10, I beseech you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that when you're gathered together, you speak the same thing and that you have no divisions among you. That's based on the Bible. He didn't say you have to style your hair just like everybody else. And there are people that carry rulers around. They want to heard this guy preaching. Years, this been years ago, he was preaching on TV. He said, now, ladies, if you want to wear your hair up in a bun, go for it. If that's the hairstyle you prefer. Then he said, but if you think that draws you closer to God or makes you stronger, I believe that's not the case. And he went on. Then he was preached for a few minutes. He stopped and said, well, the Lord told me right now to tell all those ladies out in TV land they need to get delivered from bondage. Not bondage, bondage. Hallelujah. I don't like the way she styles her hair. Don't style your hair that way. I like those preachers that wear red suits or blue suits. I got a blue one. You know what? Deal with it. Don't wear it. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean I don't like it. That's not a matter of right or wrong. That's just a matter of preference. Isn't that Reverend Sun Young Moon? I think I mentioned it. I don't know if it was Friday night or Saturday night. I'd just gotten saved, and by the A&P food store, there was a missionary group taking up money, and I don't know. I put 20 or 25. I'm feeling good until I found out it was a cult. And I do believe in the sight of God. I got credit for that because I was given to what I thought was a legitimate missionary endeavor of spreading the gospel, but I was given to a cult. But how many knows if I go back the next day and give $25 to a cult, I'm not only at fault, I'm to be blamed. I know better. But that Reverend Sun Young Moon, he would match people up to be married that had never met each other. Remember Christ said, men will come in my name, Matthew 24:4. And deceive many. Now, might come in the name of the Lord, and they might say they are the Lord, saying, I am Jesus. People followed that. And then there was the shepherding movement, Bob Mumford, Derek Prince, I'm trying to think of the other guy. And Derek Prince got out, he said, no, this is not God. And they were trying to give structure to the parachurch. Things were happening outside the denominational churches. And instead of just, going, but I see this, look, we get wildfire under control, but I'd rather have wildfire than no fire. But we don't want the wildfire to burn everything up. So they're trying to raise struggle. Then all of a sudden it got into, you had these people that watched over you, and they would tell you what kind of car to buy and what to do this. And that's lunacy. The unity we have is based on the Word of God. And I submit to the Lordship of Jesus. God put minister gifts in the church to give us guidance. 1 Peter 5:4, not to be a lord over God's heritage, but to be an example to the flock. And there is scriptural authority in the church. Thank God you've got a pastor, loves God, loves the Word, and wants to help you. And sometimes may have to tell you things you might not want to hear, but if it's truth, you need to receive it. Hebrews 13:7. Obey those that have spoken unto you the Word of God. Considering the end of their conversation, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Verse 7, now verse 17 says, obey those that have the rule over you, who've spoken the word of God to you, as those who must give an account the day of judgment, they may do it with joy and not grief. That being a prophet of you. In other words, they're watching over your soul, and you won't do what the Bible says that they tell you. Then you're not going to like that at the judgment day. Doesn't mean you're necessarily going to be lost since you totally backslide on God. But they're there. Hey, we need fellowship. And we need help from each other. But when you go off like what Reverend Sun Young Moon, that is absolutely a cult. Telling people to do this. And look, you go to the store, you buy the pair of shoes you want to buy, and I'll buy the pair of shoes I want to buy. Come on. Or coat or whatever. Ladies go, you buy the purse you like, and the other lady wants another purse. Well, she should have bought the purse I got, because I'm really close to God. That's ridiculous. Amen. When the Bible says in Leviticus 9:11, you shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another, that applies to everybody. Well, she's lying and I'm not lying. Well, you know what? Then you're walking in truth and she's not. Or he's not. So what unites us is the Word of God. He said that we may rejoice. And I'm going to talk about three things quickly. Number one, that the church, we need restoration. I mean, if we miss the mark, that's what sin is, if you miss the mark. We've got an advocate with the Father, 1 John 2:1, Jesus Christ the righteous. He ever lives, Hebrews 7:25, to make intercession for you and I. 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And this is, not was, this is Billy Graham's favorite scripture. Well, Billy Graham's dead, but Billy Graham's still alive. In fact, Billy Graham said many years ago, one day you're going to hear that I've died. He said, don't believe a moment of it. I'll be more alive than I've ever been before. To be absent of the body, to be present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5. Listen, a dear pastor friend of mine just died Friday. Over in Prestonsburg, Kentucky, Don Shepherd. Donnie pastored Faith Livers Tabernacle, and I preached for him many times years ago. He had 5 sons and 3 daughters. And I'm having to go try to help a man up in Ohio this evening before I go home. But the family, there's a funeral home over there. I got it written, and it's family's going to be there 5 to 6 after that. People can come in, and then on Monday, you can come in any time in the afternoon. But I'm going to go to the funeral Tuesday, Lord willing, at 12 o'clock. But he was a wonderful man of God. But he's in heaven now. You see, when a believer dies, it's a promotion, not a demotion. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to see it that Psalm 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That word in Hebrew means costly. Because, you know, we need people here. This guy I'm going to visit in Ohio, he came here years ago and brought people with him. And he's about to want to give up. And I said, no, you need to keep believing God, because this man, I'll tell you, he's drove down here. He drove to Louisville. He lives up in Ireton, Ohio. He'd go pick people up in his car. And God bless him, he got another big car. He kept bringing people to church. You know, I wanted them to hear the Word of God. I said, don't you dare give up. So I'm going up there to visit him, and he's going to try to get out tomorrow. There's some other things going on. But he is a wonderful man of God. He'll take people to church. He's done that since I met him. First time I met him was in a church in Canonsburg, Kentucky. I had a word for him about his ear, and God opened his ear. He got healed. So you know what? If he goes on, he'll be happy. But I said, Tom, you need to stay here. You need to get back, get your health back, and keep taking people to church. Revelation 14:13. Blessed are they which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may cease in their labors and their works do follow them. I've used this illustration. Throw a rock into a lake. The rock will be at the bottom of the lake, but the ripples will continue to emanate across the surface of the pond. Of course, in this life, when it hits the edge, that's it. But when you set things in motion spiritually, it carries on for eternity. What you do for Jesus is of eternal worth and value. You need to see that. You might plant a seed. You might water a seed. God gives the increase. And God's going to use young people in these last days. Now, I've talked to some young people here in the church. You know what? And they're not. I see, you know, you're a Christian. You know what? Yes, I am. No. Well, you know, yeah, I guess looking down at the ground, they look at me and say, yes, I'm a Christian. You know, that lets me know something. Roger Bartram, a dear friend of mine, lives down near Tampa, Florida. And he was a great basketball player himself. And his son started 4 years at Penn State in the late 80s, early 90s. Great basketball player. His daughter, Beth, went to Wright State University in Dayton, Ohio. And I got to see her play a couple times when I was up in that area. And she went to Lee College and led Lee College. She was a star player. It's before they had a WNBA. And she was a star player. She led Lee College to the National Women's Christian Collegiate Basketball Championship. Hallelujah. But his son Greg was in the 7th grade at Chapmanville Junior High School, and I taught there before I left teaching in 86. And I knew Brother Roger. I went up and I asked him, and these kids are, I said, Greg, I said, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? And without flinching, yes, I am. Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I love him with all my heart. I knew then that man meant Mrs. Young man, 13 years old. He just said, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church. You're not trying to hide it. No. We need some bold Christians. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Paul said in Ephesians 6:19, pray for me that I may open my mouth and speak boldly as I ought to. Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness Turn to the Holy Spirit by the blood of Jesus. Well, those preachers get there and they're so confident. We're confident in the Word of God. I think I mentioned Friday night. If you need medical help, if you go to a doctor and he starts talking about all these medicals, you know what? He knows too much. I want to talk to a doctor who doesn't know that much. That frightens me. You go to a lawyer and he knows all legal cases, graduate the top of the bar association when he took the... Well, he knows too much. I want a lawyer that's more on my level. Oh, really? Then you want to go to a church where somebody gets up and reads a book report or recites poetry. You need the Word of God. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. It's the Word, John 8:32. It's going to set us free. Christ said, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth is liberating. So if we miss the mark, what do? We ask God to cleanse us. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins. Do you know that some people are trying to teach that you do that as a sinner one time and you never do it again? No, that was written to Christians. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to keep short of counsel of God. And when you do that, listen. Well, if I live good for 2 weeks because I got angry at my mother, I said, I got to live good 2 weeks. I know God's forgiven me. Where's that in the Bible? If you really meant business when you said, God, forgive me, He forgave you when you asked Him to. If you meant business as a Christian. Okay, then, what we need is restoration. Let me tell you. Acts 3:19, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I just wonder why all those Christians are happy. Well, won't you come on in? The water's fine. Come on. Psalm 34:8 says, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. You know, if I'd have had more, I'd have brought more. But Kathy made some baklava for the CGIF conference in Louisville. I had some left over. I brought some for Pastor Mike and Annette. I brought some for Rick and Debbie and Daryl Minerva. Rick said, Mike, that was so good. I was licking the pan. Jesus is better than that.
Yeah.
And actually, it's like the manna. I'm going to give you scripture for it. I've jokingly said this in conferences. I've had preachers say, Mike, I laughed too, but the more I got to thinking about it, it had to be that. Leviticus 16:31. And the children of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed. It was white, tastes like wafers with honey. Baklava, Greek pastry, is made. It's got honey in it, phyllo dough, and walnuts. And when they ate the manna of the Old Testament, thirst the first time you want to, what is it? People that eat baklava, it's never had baklava, it's not related to another taste. You know what they say? What is that? I never had them say, we know it's like this. No, what is that? And so I had a couple of priests say, my kid had to be something like that. I said, well, it's got to be something like that. Jesus is better than that.
Yeah.
Psalm 81:10 says, oh, come. It says, open wide your mouth. God said, I'll fill it. Psalm 103:5 says, He'll fill our mouth with good things. I just changed Psalm 103. When it says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's about to be with me. We're going to a Mexican restaurant after church. I'm going to say it this way right now before I eat. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's about to be within me. Bless His holy name. I'm in anticipation. It's going to taste good. It's going to be good. But you see, we got a church now. We got to be real still, and we can't smile. Where'd you get? I'll tell you what. You didn't get that from the Bible. David said in Psalm 122:1, I was sad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. No, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. The 100th Psalm doesn't say, make a mournful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with sadness. Come before His presence with moans and groans and gripes and complaints. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth unto all generations. Let me say this. People don't stand around watching ice cubes melt. No more than people stand around watching paint dry. But let a house catch on fire. Everybody's going to run down the room. Man, I want to watch this. Psalm 104:4 says He'll make His ministers a flame of fire. In Jeremiah 29, he said, I've got a fire shut up in my bones. Now, he wasn't talking about burritos, enchiladas, or Tex-Mex food. What was he talking about, preacher? Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing in mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So we have repentance, we have refreshing, and then the last one, restoration. Getting back what the devil's stolen. Remember, the devil's a thief, by the way. And I remember as a young boy, and I've been to this museum up off Highway 83. I preach in Shrewsbury, Pennsylvania. I did back in September. And right north there is York, Pennsylvania. You ever heard of York Barbell Company? Well, they have a statue of Bob Hoffman. And it goes around a turnstile 24/7. You drive 2 o'clock in the morning, you'll say, I went in there. And it showed actors and actresses that came out of bodybuilding. When I was a young boy, I read a magazine advertising, York Barbells. And it showed this big old muscle-bound dude going out on the beach. He kicked sand in this scrawny fella's face and took his girlfriend from him. Now this scrawny fella goes to the gymnasium and starts pumping iron. And, you know, they exaggerate, engage in hyperbole. And about 6 weeks later, he looked like Charles Atlas. Takes a little longer than that. You know what he did? He went back out on the beach. He kicked sand in this muscle-bound dude's face and took his girlfriend back. How do you relate that to the gospel? It's time that you and I, in the name of Jesus, go into God's Holy Ghost gymnasium, develop some spiritual muscles, and go take back what the devil has stolen. Proverbs 6:31 says, men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his foe when he's hungry. But if a thief be found, he hath to restore sinful, he may have to give up all the substance of his house. We need to get in shape, saints of God. Glory to God. Get spiritual exercise. In the New Testament, Paul likens the Christian life to a soldier, 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus, to also a farmer, Mark 4:11, Jesus went forth to sow, okay, and we're to sow, Psalm 126:5, they that sow in tears, and then an athlete. Well, you shouldn't be talking about sports in church. It talks about sports in the Bible. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you might finish 32nd. 14th. Run that you may win. If we could put forth that kind of effort for a sporting event, you know, in the Olympics, some of these athletes were trained for 4, 6, or 8 years for one event. It's sad to say there have been some of these guys and gals, and they're getting ready to compete in that event. And by the way, men should be competing with men and women with women. It's robbing girls of the opportunity to get a scholarship. You take a man that doesn't even rank in the top 400 of swimming at the collegiate level, and all of a sudden he says he's a woman, and then he ends up being the number one swimmer among the women. And then these guys that say that they're girls, then all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, they give big talks about what it means to be a woman. You ladies ought to be angry at that. Because he's never had something you have every month. Come on. He's never given birth and will never know what it means to give birth. And he's going to lecture you and everybody else what it means to be a woman. You know what? Pastor, just don't want Scotty to drop this. Now look. I want to fly. Why can't I fly? I'm not a bird, and I don't have wings. And you should understand beyond that what it means. But now, listen, there are some sporting events men can't compare with women. And that's gymnastics because of anatomical structure. Women could do things in gymnastics male gymnasts can only dream about. But you get into these fighting, and there's one lady, her face is broken up, and she was in critical condition. This guy said, he was doing this to prove a point. He said, well, I feel like a woman today, went in there and just bashed her. Another girl, a man hit a soccer ball in the face, and it fractured her skull. Well, it got quiet in here, but I'll preach it anyway. Genesis 2:18, God said, it's not good that man be alone. He made a helpmate for him. And it's the human race. It's not just one gender. It's male and female. Genesis 5:2, He made them male and female and called their name Adam. Oh, but I want to be this. You know what? You might want to fly a plane, but if you've not been to aviation school, I'm not getting on board the plane you want to fly. Hallelujah. If we don't stand up now and listen, the tide's turning. Tide's turning. And there's going to be more screaming, ranting, and raving. I'm not out to hurt somebody's feelings. But we have a right to believe what we want to believe. Let me say this happened a couple years ago, and I'll be closing down on this. This happened a couple years ago. There was a teacher who was suspended from his position because he wouldn't call a boy a girl's name. He said, now, whatever designated name, he would refer to her as a woman. But he said, whatever designated name, Penelope, Abigail, Susan, whatever you want to be, I'll call you that. Well, it went to court. The teacher won the case. And the judgment said this. He was willing to call the student by whatever designated name they wanted to be called. But he wasn't required to abandon his view of biology for somebody else's view of biology. Give me five, Scotty. Yeah. If they want to believe that, that's fine. But that doesn't mean you have to accept their worldview no more than they have to accept your worldview. But people with common sense will know what the truth is. And as things play out, they're going to find out. But isn't it sad, though? Girls that's going to lose scholarships. And girls that's going to be hurt. You don't think about that. Some of these girls start in, when they're in grade school. And they're good at their craft. And then they get into high school, and these boys who can't make it as basketball, all of a sudden now they're going to play. I'm a woman. And they're going to get scholarships. They're going to get scholarships. I don't want to get into too much detail, but this guy changed his name to Leah Thomas. I refer to him. He's a man. And even the decathlete, I'll get his name here in just a minute. He's got Bruce Jenner. Changed his name to Caitlin. I'll say this. I think I can say this here. They both still have the family jewels. Okay? And to say, and you know, even if you have surgery to remove certain body parts, try to put body, you're still going to be 98% XX female chromosome or XY male. And then they, but this Leah Thomas, he not only did the swimming, he paraded around where the women are showering and stuff and parading around. And there's other things I could, the women said what he did. And you think of that. So then you want your daughters going to school, boys. And there are girls out in California terrified. They're trying to hold it back. Not going to the restroom because these pretty girls go in. They're going right into the bathroom right after that. Okay. I think I made my point. You can say amen on me or ouch. It's true anyway. Amen. But once we get where we need to be with God, then we can go out in the name of Jesus and we can take authority over the devil. Luke 19:13, I'll close on this. Christ called 10 servants, gave them 10 pounds. Now, if you're on a diet, he's not talking about weight. I've jokingly told people in Leviticus, it says, lay your fat on the altar, talking about livestock, but I twist a little bit. And I call this my Psalm 24. I've been carrying this germ X for 20 years, long before there was COVID-19. And I nicknamed it my Psalm 24 for solution. What's that, preacher? Verse 3 of Psalm 24 says, who can approach the holy hill of God? Verse 4 says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. It also applies to James 4:8. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. Yeah, we can laugh in the house of God. Psalm 2:4, he that sits in the heavens laughs. And once again, I was cornered, I mentioned Friday night, I think, by a preacher. The verse you quote, I said, well, which one are you talking? The one says God's laughing in heaven. I said, Psalm 2:4. That's where it's at. I said, why do you think God's laughing? He was mad to find out God was laughing. Well, there's a little Dennis of menace in all of us. I looked at him and I said, well, brother, God watches you and I all day long. Psalm 60:11, in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasure and more. I think some people think Jesus is stoic, impassive, placid. Hebrews 1:9. Because thou love righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed with oil of gladness above all of your fellows. Who's he talking about? We look at verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness, a scepter of thy kingdom. And we need to realize, we come to the house of God. And I'm asking these kids around here, and I do that when I travel to church, where they have a lot of kids. Are you having a kid? You know, church, it's just really ministry to the kids. Yeah, they're excited to go to church. Some of the older people we need to get stirred up. They walk in church and get stricken with rigiditis. They're outside, and they get in church. And then they change the way they talk. They'll say mater and tater outside, and to get into church is tomato and potato. We ought to be who we are. Come on. Either way, yes. And talk the way we normally talk. And worship God and love God and appreciate. There's diversity, but the unity is around Jesus Christ and the Word of the living God. So when we develop those spiritual muscles, let's take back what the devil has stolen. Now listen, there's a move of God taking place worldwide and in America also. I believe we have reached a critical mass situation. And we're at a breaking point. And the future of our nation is on the line. We had these men that came up here. They thought America was worth fighting for. Now, we're talking spiritual here because, see, we have to qualify what we say, Pastor. We talk about spiritual warfare. Oh, they're talking about taking up guns and shooting people. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about spiritual warfare. Did you hear me? Spiritual warfare. Prayer, the Word, getting involved. Well, this just came to me. I'll add a little bit to it. I'm not lying to you. I have to add this. Jim Bennett's in heaven. He died December 28, 2001. Lived out in Taylor, Texas. A great friend of mine, preached for him many times. That's the same day my Aunt Sonia Mars died. I went to her funeral, and I went out, and I was one of the 14 or 15 preachers at Jim's funeral. When he moved from Crockett, Texas, where he was born, he worked for a ministry up in Fort Worth, I think Kenneth Copeland. Then he went down to Taylor, Texas, took over Christ Fellowship Church. You know where they were being drug infested? He told me, Mike, I had to live here 10 years before these people are clannish now. They accept me. But he started going down to these drug infested areas of Taylor, Texas. It's in Williamson County, about 30 miles northeast of Austin. And they would go down there and sing and preach, and they drove the druggies out. Governor Bush, for the third president, heard about that, called him on the phone. He's, this Reverend Jim Bennett? Yes. Governor, he said, well, I heard about the good work going on up there. He said, look, I want to drive up there tomorrow and shake your hand. He said, well, Governor, yeah, I want to come up there and shake your hand. And they didn't have the photo, went up there and shook his hand. And I don't know, maybe 6 months later, his father's in town, and he called Jim and said, hey, my friend, I want to bring up my father, 41. Come up and meet you. Became friends. Because he went down to the, he did that to rid Taylor of the drugs. Because, I mean, I started going there preaching in the 80s, and I saw this stuff happen. Then Jim went on to be with the Lord. He was taking me and another preacher. We were going to go to the White House. But he went on. So I drove all the way out there and eulogized him because I knew him, Carolyn, his wife. She's remarried and lives up in northern Texas. Great lady. And Jeff and Andrew Ripple, pastor of the church. In fact, years before anything happened, I had a word for them because they came in from outside that area that God would promote them. And I'm not doing what's going on there. Anyway, we were going to go, but they had White House officials there. The president could not get free, but he sent White House officials and government representatives there in Texas at the funeral home. You can make a difference. Start where you're at with what you've got. Well, if I had a big ministry, I had all this. What about just using what you've got? God told Moses, use what's in your hand. Come out, saints of God. You use what you've got, God will give you more. He'll give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. But see, if you're going to give seed, Isaiah 55:10, as the rain comes down, the snow from heaven, God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. If you're a sower, you're going to get more seed to sow. Come on, let's magnify the Lord. Father, we thank you for this opportunity on Veterans Day weekend. We've honored these soldiers in this community, at this church. And God, we honor the men and women, brave people, willing to put out a uniform, not knowing where they might be sent, not knowing if they would come back home. just like police officers. But we do thank God for their courage, valor, and bravery. Now, Lord, may we step up our game as the body of Christ. May we get more involved, not be afraid of what somebody might say. God, we're going to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. We're not going to castigate people, talk down to people. We're going to tell them about Jesus and the Word of God. We're going to preach the truth. And we're going to let people know they can live whatever lifestyle. We still love them, and God loves them, and God can save them and change them. We're not going to water down the gospel, but we're not going to preach it in the wrong spirit. We're going to preach it in the right spirit in Jesus' name. There might be somebody here today, Pastor Tackett, Brother Manuel. I'm not sure I know Jesus. There's one way for you to find out if we're telling you the truth. You come, as Psalm 34:8 says, and taste and see if the Lord is good. I did March 23rd, 1975. I've been saved 48 and a half years. Let me say this. The grass is greener on God's side of the fence. I wouldn't trade God's steak for the devil's hot dog. It'll make you sick, by the way, the devil's hot dog, for anything. So let me ask while the saints are praying. If you're concerned about your soul, you're not sure you're right with God, don't linger, don't delay, don't hesitate. Lift your hand up real quick. Anybody here today? Anyone here today? Lift your hand up. If you're not sure that you're right with God, lift your hand up. No, well, I'm not going to come back and get you. And I'm not going to have somebody come back and try to pull you down. We'll pray for you if that's all you want us to do. I'll give you an invitation if you want to come. But I don't go back. That's the work of the Holy Ghost, is to bring you to Jesus. Anybody here today? Lift your hand up. God bless you. God bless you, young lady. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anyone else? I thank God. Young lady, would you want to come now to accept the Lord into your life? Jesus came all the way to heaven to earth and died on the cross. You could come to Him right now. And you don't have to think about how can I get things straightened out. Jesus will change your heart and things will begin to move in the right direction. Would you come right now? Would you come right now? We'll pray after church. If you want to pray after church, you don't have to pray in front of a congregation. We'll stay here after service if you want to come and pray. But John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. I'll raise him up at the last day. If you need healing in your body, lift your hand up. If you need healing in your body, now I want you to stand up. If you can. If you can't stand up, just keep your hand. If you can stand up, stand up. If you need healing in your body. Father, these are men and women that have been born again. They're the seed of Abraham, Galatians 3:29, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. Heirs according to the promise. Now, Jesus told the woman, Luke 13:60, not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed in this bond on the Sabbath. Oh, preacher, you don't know the elements I faith. Well, you don't know what I've been through recently and what God's done for me. I'm here moving around, and I'm going to go into detail, but I had an accident back in the summer. Aboard. Shouldn't have been out there, but I'm out there. I'm working just... I'm 40 years older than some of these guys and working as hard. I just wanted to help them. And God... Well, God's touched me. And I had to believe God. And I had to believe God. Listen, I went through some tough... The whole month of October. I canceled all the meetings. They didn't want me in a car moving around or anything. But I kept believing God. I was in some severe pain. It's all gone. It's all gone. Don't even have to have this procedure, but urologist said, if you do this, he said, look, are you going to slow down driving? I said, no. I said, I'm flying more now, but no, I'm not. Well, let me make this suggestion. I can do this procedure, eliminate a lot of that extra prostate. I'm not taking your whole prostate out. And you won't have any more problems. I said, sounds good to me. You shouldn't go to doctors. Tell me in the Bible where it says not to do that. 2 Chronicles 16:12 says, Asa, in the 38th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, and in his sore disease he sought not the Lord, but only to the physicians. And Asa died in the 41st year of his reign. The problem wasn't he went to doctors. The problem was he didn't seek God.
That's right.
Okay, Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Is medicine good or bad according to the Bible? Come on. Hallelujah. Paul gave instructions to Timothy. Hallelujah. Taking care of his health. We need to take care of ourselves. Father, right now, I'm standing with these men and women. We're the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:13, you've redeemed us from the curse of the law. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. And part of that blessing was healing. Jesus, you consummated the plan of redemption. Healing belongs to the children of God. Mark 7:27. Let the children first be filled. That's a covenant right you and I have as Christians. And I'm speaking healing. I don't know what the conditions are, but Psalm 103:3 says, you forgive all of our iniquities and you heal all of our diseases. I speak healing into your bodies. Now in the name of Jesus, lay claim to it. There are going to be great testimonies come out of it. And get, you know what? The testimony is not with Mike Manuel's here. The testimony is Jesus healed me. Like Gloria King was saying that I healed the blind man. And no, Lord, don't tell that lie. No, we know him. Larry and I know him. He can see now. Everybody knows. I said, I know that. But you said I healed him. I didn't heal him. Jesus healed him. And she understood. Yeah, just saying, well, did I heal? I didn't heal him. Jesus healed him. We're to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Jesus drove a rough, Exodus 15:26. If you need a financial breakthrough, lift your hand up. You need a financial breakthrough. Stand up if you need a financial breakthrough. I believe we're going to have some big breakthroughs. Let me tell you something. Your pastor and his wife and Daryl Minerva and Rick and Debbie came over to the steakhouse back in July. Dr. Bob Rogers predicted this war. Gary Weaver wrote it down. I got calls from all these people. Well, he said there was going to be a war. See, nobody expected us because the terrorists, they communicated through paper. They didn't do it electronically. So our CIA didn't know anything about it. The IDF and their security didn't know anything about it. And people said, well, how did he know? I said, well, you know, he hears God. And he told me 2 weeks before God woke him up. God wakes him at 3:33 in the morning. And when he gets an angel's visit, when he gets up, he knows that I'm getting up. And he said there's going to be a war. Not a skirmish, not an incursion, not an attack. There's going to be a war. And it would happen around Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, and that's when it happened. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing but reveal His secret unto His servants the prophets. Amen. So Chronicles 20:20. Believe in the Lord your God, you'll be established. Believe His prophets, so shall you prosper. Okay, I believe in God right now for financial breakthroughs for my brothers and my sisters. In the name of Jesus, financial breakthroughs are going to take place. In the name of Jesus. Expect it. Look for it. It's coming your way. Thank you, Jesus. Well, bless God, I'm ready to go eat and go to Bidwell, Ohio to visit my friend. Believe God with me that He'll get encouraged. Come out. He wants to get out tomorrow, but he's got to have somebody at his. He's a big man to take care of him. But there's some people there, the neighbors that will help. Another lady, Gertrude, that will try to get some people to help. And he's going to try to reapply and get back into either the VA. He was at St. Mary's, went to another facility. They said, well, we're going to send you up here. And no, I'm just not going to say anymore. He just wants to get out of there. But he said, maybe I just need to die here. I said, no. No. Said, Ty, I've met you in the 1980s. All I've ever known of you is you get people, take them to church, and they get saved and healed. So I know if you die, you'll go to heaven. But you need to, look, we need you. Because he's not just saying, and we're talking about even when he's been on a cane and everything. He'd get in that car, he could drive. He'd get people, he'd load that car. He brought three people here several years ago. And they sat back there. And one of them got saved. We need people like that here on the earth. Come on. Amen. Well, Pastor, it's always an honor to be here. We love and appreciate you all. They're your family. You know, I know a lot of you. And we're praying for Dee to make a recovery in the name of Jesus. We love and appreciate it. I cover your prayers these trips I'm going overseas. I mean, I'm going to pray and get the direction of God. I'm not going to be going every month overseas. I have a wife, and I like to be home, and I have a dog I like to play with, a boxer dog. But I am going to be going abroad. And look, there'll be some very safe places. I'm going back to South Korea in October. Kim Jong-un's withdrawn embassy officials from all in area, the new North Korea dictator. 21st to the 28th, we have the CGI. I'm on the board now. I've got to be there in these meetings. And I'll be preaching. I met two of the pastors there at the churches. You know, those churches have 200. I might be preaching 7 or 8 times one day. Maybe 300,000 people, whatever. What's that mean? It means nothing. I preach as hard to five people. And I asked my wife years ago, we preached in Oak Grove, Louisiana, and I think there might have been 35 people. Then I go to Dallas, Texas, and preach right across from Christ for the Nations. The guy's name will come to me. Anyway, they had about 900 people in that church. Now they have Christian school that's won honors and awards. Name will come to me. But anyway, on the way home, I said, honey, did I preach harder to the 900 people than I did the 35? 40? No, she said, I think you preached harder for Danny and Mary DeForest than you did there. Because I wanted to see, you know, did I get a... Now, you get a big crowd and they're excited, that can get you excited. But if I'm preaching to five people or talking to one person, we need to win them to Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, Sandy, if you come on, Pastor. Appreciate you, Pastor. Cover your prayers.
I love you, man.